Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass on.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Extracast for the week of February 3rd, 2014. I'm your host, Zach. Just hanging, we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Hello.
So let's get right into the show because we have a ton of stuff to talk about this week. And I think, yeah, first and foremost, we need to kick it off with some sad news. Right before the Super Bowl started, which is pretty sad by itself, we learned that Philip Seymour Hoffman overdosed in his apartment in New York City. Probably either Sunday morning or like late Saturday or something, but lots and lots of heroin around him, so there's pretty much not really a question of what killed him, so...
Dad of a broken heart.
I do. That kind of was. He's going through a rough divorce.
What's that? Yeah, there's a lot of weird shit coming out about him, but I mean, I'm choosing to just kind of just kind of ignore it and just think
focus
about
on, like,
the
his amazing
that,
acting career.
Yeah, phenomenal. Phenomenal actor. By all accounts, from what I understand, he was also a pretty cool guy. For someone who's been in such badass movies, like, probably could have afforded to be a complete and utter, like, douche to people, but, everything I've ever heard about him is nothing but good stuff. And, and even if he weren't a great actor who was in some tremendous movies, at the end of the day, like, now there are some, young kids who lost their dad, and it's just a shitty situation, but, life goes on.
What are some of your favorite Philip Seymour Hoffman movies?
Mission Impossible 3.
I'd say this probably...
Along Came Polly. He was actually great. Like, not even kidding. Like, he was fucking hysterical in that. all kidding aside.
I think my personal favorite is Mission Impossible 3, too, just because it was basically, like, the closest he got to it playing a Bond villain. And he was so super awesome as a bad guy in that movie.
That was pretty close.
Every single trailer was just like, it was just that speech he gave to Ethan Hunt about, like, do you have a wife or a girlfriend? I'm gonna find her, I'm gonna hurt her. And I'm gonna kill you right in front of her.
No, you're putting too much emotion in that. You gotta have that, like, you have a wife or a girlfriend. Like that. His acting range is big, but, like, when his threatening range is, it's weird, you know? Like, his, like, villain voice. Mm-hmm. It's not, like... It's like... He could have been this amazing... That villain could have been, like, some sophisticated, like, British villain, right? But it wasn't. It was just, like, an American guy.
It was just, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, it's like, hey... He sounded like a whiny villain. But he was active. I don't know. I was like that. That was like the one thing that stood out was like he could have really hammed it up, but he didn't. He's just kind of like, hey, you're gonna hurt. Things are just.
I'd say easily the best villain of the Mission Impossible series.
Hard to argue. Not impossible to argue, but hard to argue for sure.
Definitely better than Ghost Protocol villain.
Well, that guy did a lot for no reason. Like, he's really hands on.
He had like two henchmen.
Yeah, very understaffed. Yeah. We bring that up
and
a lot,
two,
but
like evil Ethan Hunt.
Oh, super evil!
Yeah,
Ethan
yeah like
Hunt.
ex IMF agent
that somehow amassed an army. Like he had a small army, and the whoever was in charge of like not keeping track of this fucked up.
Also, Twister.
Oh, yeah, he was in Twister.
And the Van Halen-loving Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
Who just kept playing humans being every single time.
That's a classic.
Big
Lebowski, also was another like minor but awesome. I mean, just there are so many movies too that are like great movies that I just kind of like forgot that he was in, like Twister and The Big Lebowski,
and like Magnolia, and Almost Famous, and Boogie Nights.
Yeah, fuck, Boogie Nights,
he had a good role.
Boogie Nights, yeah.
I liked him in Red Dragon.
Yeah. Red Dragon was great too. Probably he's probably like the most famous scene for that movie, which is the "Do you see?" And then he like got burned, like sent down in a wheelchair, burning down the streets, and then got replaced by like a ginger girl on the new Hannibal show.
Really? That's
Freddie Lowndes. They turned him into like a hot ginger girl. Writes for like a tabloid crime website.
I really wasn't kidding about Along Came Polly. I mean, that was a pretty hysterical, like, supporting actor role, I have to say. Like, I wasn't trying to be cute.
Yeah, I know. Everyone mentions that.
I thought, cool.
And obviously, he won the Oscar also for Capote.
Yeah, but Talented Mr. Ripley also was a pretty interesting movie. Like, I wouldn't call it his best, but, I mean, it was still... like just a weird movie in general. That
I've come to realize, I think he dies in a lot of his movies.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't quite make it through a lot.
Just something like the other ones. He was in Moneyball.
I still haven't seen Moneyball, but I hear he was very good at it.
Schenectady to New York. Or Sindoshi. It's not Schenectady. It's like Sindoshi. No one knows how to pronounce that in the title, but that was like who directed that movie?
I heard Doubt was pretty dark too.
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman. That was Sindosh, New York.
Like, I remember people were like, either you loved Doubt or you were just like, you were so confused about it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone, whether they loved it or hate it, it's like dark. Just darkness.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this premise is dark. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I saw Doubt. I was hammered, but I was like, huh. I think he did it. I don't know. Because, like, you just, like, it's Meryl Streep being Meryl Streep and Seymour Philip Hoffman being like, maybe I touched a kid. But you kind of do look like you did. So, Philip?
Then ABM is just like, what?
Yeah, she has, like, no opinion. She's just like, I have doubt, too.
Also, Ides of March he was in. And The Master, which I haven't seen yet, but I kind of feel like I should go watch that now.
No one's talked about The Master in a while.
It came out, like, 2 years ago? Not even?
Yeah, so and it's, like, just disappeared from people's... Like, you don't see it a lot.
It's surprising, too, because it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, so...
But then it became like a Joaquin Phoenix movie, like super fast.
Yeah, that was
right?
Like his like big return after his crazy like experiments.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I'd like to.
And then probably most recently he was in Hunger Games,
which yes. They said like yeah they're not going to change anything, but now
apparently,
it's like it's awkward.
Well, he apparently had one big scene left to do. Which they just had to figure out what they're going to do with that scene, but everything else is pretty much finished, so it's not... fortunately, it's not like a Paul Walker situation where they have to, like, redo the whole movie.
Right, but it's like one scene that kind of ties in, so it's not like a plot hole. It's like, oh, he just went to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah, they said they might do, like, some sort of, like, digital...
I mean, adamant, not to diss him, but it's like, all you need is someone that kind of look like him is, like, be in the background. Yeah. It's just, like, wear a wig.
Yeah, what they did when Brandon Lee died was they did what was called cookie cutting at the time, where if you go back now and watch the movie, it's painfully obvious, but at the time it was kind of like movie magic, where there was just like scenes of him like running on the rooftops and stuff like that, and for whatever reason, like it looks dated now, but it's still actually kind of better than when they do like ridiculous actor CG nowadays, like, dare I say, the Scorpion King, and, you know, shit yeah. like that, as an example of, as one of the more glaring examples of, you know, terribly done sort of actor CGI.
Well,
but,
weird, like,
yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine, when they, like, de-aged.
Yes.
Or actually, it was first,
yes, so I'm...
Last Stand also had that, too, where, like, they, like, de-aged Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And he looks super, like...
Too much less.
Yes, yeah. that's true. But I'm just saying, like, I hope that they don't do some, like, super gratuitous sort of, you know, job. Unless they just go, like, fucking Mr. Majorum's, like, Wonder Emporium.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, he goes through, like, this closet, and he comes out, and he's like, now he's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I read the books, and I can't remember exactly what happens to Plutarch Heavensby, but...
Maybe he'll go into the bathroom and come out as Jim Gaffigan. And that could work.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, the third movie's not out yet, so they can still just kind of reshoot every
scene. The last two
scene.
Movies, Chris, because they're splitting into two movies.
Oh,
well,
the
part one is in post-production. That's
yeah.
out already.
Apparently there's one scene left to do for two.
Yeah.
So superimpose like someone else's face so everyone gets used to
it. They're kind of on schedule.
I mean, not to sound like a total bag of cocks here, but like I have a feeling like they could kind of cut and paste, you know, snippets of him wearing similar things
yeah.
like from previous movies. You know, unless it's him like wrestling a bear or something that's like really sort of like unheard of that he hasn't done in the last movies. But if it's him in a room talking, like, you know, Jesus Christ, Hollywood, like in the age of Avatar, you mean to tell me that we can't
yeah.
pull off a convincing Philip Seymour Hoffman in a
dialogue
scene?
Like,
come on.
God, who the hell was it? I think it was like Laurence Olivier or Orson Welles for like, did you guys ever see Sky Captain of the World Tomorrow?
Yep.
No.
Where they basically like, I think it was Laurence Olivier. They basically took like all of his, like basically ran all his dialogue and like made new dialogue, and he was like an evil computer hologram. But they had new dialogue based on all of his old dialogue, so he just like cut snippets out of it and ran it through, and he was in the movie.
I couldn't even tell that's really him because it's like he's just a cloud of like.
It was very like Unicron.
Yeah.
It's weird when you mentioned like Zeus and stuff, and there was no. Yeah, so anyway, it sucks. I don't know, drugs are bad, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. The Reaper waits for no one.
So, anyway, moving on to other news. There was a ton of trailers that came out because it was Super Bowl this past weekend. And also, before the Super Bowl, there was actually the first trailer for A Million Ways to Die in the West. The new Seth MacFarlane movie coming out this summer. Did you guys check that trailer out?
Yep.
I did not. How did it look, though?
Well, it was a red band, so it's a better indication of what the movie is actually going to be. Which is
that's
a lot of just like a lot of like anachronistic swearing in a Western.
I feel like this is the movie that like bros like our flock to like somehow just connect because it has like everything. Like, a generation of douches are gonna like.
Well, clearly.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's gonna be a great experience, but, like, it's probably gonna get saturated really fast.
Like, people quoting it?
Yeah. Or just, like, imitating things.
They didn't really have one with Ted, though.
Yeah, they did. Think about it. A lot of people were talking about Ted.
I mean, they're talking about it, but it wasn't like I didn't see any like there was no like annoyingly like it wasn't Borat level, just everyone doing it.
Right, but in terms of like the Borat spectrum,
yeah.
like Borat so like I would say Borat is like the most imitated in that generation of like douchey people seeing his movie and killing it. And then the opposite spectrum is like I don't know. Doubt. So like something no one's gonna quote. Like there's like no one.
Doubt's getting a lot of throwouts tonight.
So like those things, like Because at least I know, like, one or two quotes from Dat where it's like, oh, like, it doesn't matter, like, if it's right or wrong. Like, I have doubt. Like,
that was the you fucking, just say like, random things with doubt movie. In it, and then...
And then Borat is, like, the every common day man's, like, you know, what's up.
Yeah.
So, I feel like this is going to, like, tally along that, and it's like, no matter what, it's going to make money, you know? It's too star-driven, it's too, like... It's firing all its guns at the right people, and it's gonna make money.
All the Ted people, you're gonna get all the Family Guy people, you're gonna get, like Liam Neeson people, you're gonna get, I don't know,
like nostalgia Western people.
Yeah. Oh, they'll probably be a little disappointed. It's not like it's like where's Charlton Heston.
I mean, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, a super, super overproduction version of Casa de Mi Padre.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, it's aware that it's not going to be serious, you know? And it's aware of a lot of things, which I give it, like, oh, it's good that a movie, like, understands that. And love it or hate it, Seth MacFarlane knows what he's making.
This one seems more like I don't know, aren't ironic Western of like, aren't Westerns crazy? Like, that was crazy. Like, did you guys see Deadwood?
Well, it's like the modern take of like Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the grandpappy of this.
Yeah.
Like that is like the
forebearer. Blazing Saddles started that whole parody cowboy thing, and. I mean, all you need is, like, five more Jew jokes, and pretty much this is Blazing Saddles 3, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I Ted turned out to be fantastic, so hopefully this is, like, good follow-up to Ted.
Oh, yeah, but, like, problem was that, like, I kind of remember during that, like, in production of, like, college when I was a senior, like, that summer, like, it was like, oh, Ted's coming out. And like... Everyone was quoting just, like, the trailer. You know? Mm-hmm. So, that's why I'm kind of like, fuck. Oh, it's starting again.
I just wonder, too, if, like, Seth MacFarlane has to be in everything. Like, if you could... I don't know if you probably could have just directed this one and had someone else star in it.
Like he does for Dads?
Ew. Well, I think he just produces Dads. I don't think he... He pokes his head out of the way to the Family Guy writing room or whatever.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, you got Liam Neeson as the bad guy, like, gruesome deaths. I think that's, the big joke is, like, the Western, like, the Wild West was insanely dangerous, and people were just dying in the most awful ways possible. Because like, there's Final Destination-style deaths of, like, the one part where, like, they're, like, transporting ice, and, like, a guy gets crushed by a giant block of ice, and just blood is everywhere. And in this random swearing too of like, because R rated, we can swear. We can't swear Family Guy.
I mean, it's good to see. Like, it's good. I'm supporting because it's an R rated comedy. Like, I can't not like that. Like, I love comedies. I hate it like when they PG-13 it. And this, they're gonna abuse almost all that rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff they couldn't even show in the Red Band trailer. So. So I think that's out in June this summer, so right in the prime spot of summer. And then we got a ton more looks at summer movies from the Super Bowl trailers, and also along with like the Super Bowl trailers, there's like a ton of extended trailers. I think we need to kick it off with because we got the first look at Transformers 4: Age of Extinction. Either you guys see that one?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a Transformers movie.
The thing about the Transformers movies, they always look awesome in the trailer, and then you go to the movie, and it's like, why is this 3 hours long, and 2 hours of it is Shia LaBeouf running around, like, acting wacky?
And now it's like, oh, at some point it became Lone Survivor, and Mark Wahlberg's running around looking for his sexy daughter.
My kids! I got to pick my kids! The Transformers went around. I don't know what's going on. It's Big Daz.
Yeah, that's the. I mean, it's like they take one step forward by not having Shia LaBeouf in it, but they take three steps back by having, like, unconventional super dad.
Yeah, I don't like the whole unconventional super dad angle either, Chris. I'm with you on that, but
it's like
I
it's like
am
it's like
down
the
with Mark Wahlberg.
Robots. I don't know.
Yeah, see, like that. I don't mind. It's
got to prove to my wife that I can take care of them.
But like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't care that he's.
This
super
is gonna be
dad.
An awful, awful scene. Like kickoffs. Our introduction to Mark Wahlberg is gonna be like him getting into like a wacky fight with his ex-wife or something, Michael Bay style.
You're the worst father.
You need to take your daughter on vacation.
Yeah. I'm going on vacation with my rich new husband. You have to take care of her daughter over the weekend.
Daddy, why do you work so hard?
I like to
pretend why do you work at this burger stand with your brother?
I don't know. It's family business.
It's called Whopper.
The Michael Burger. Wait.
From my mother.
Wait, what's another trope in a Michael Bay movie? It's like the daddy that's never there, right? Yep. Daddy who's like
the city of Miami.
The city of Miami.
Like awful, awful humor that only Michael Bay finds funny.
Oh God, yeah.
Terrible stereotypes like.
Oh, black people. Yeah. Don't forget black people.
Black people stand there and murder people if they had a gun.
Yep.
Helicopters.
But, like, I'm thinking of, like, just, like, the family. Like, he doesn't do family movies. Like, if they are in it, like, the dad character always has to do something. He can't just be like, I'm happy with my family. Like, he's got
to, like,
the
best thing about this new one is that we're not going to have any more, like, insanely awkward visits from Sam's parents.
I didn't mind that.
Yeah.
Two kind of, like, over-extreme it. But...
Well, they just, like, ended up in, they were, like, on their world tour, and they ended up in Egypt for some reason. Oh, no, they got kidnapped from Paris. By the Seth gods and brought to Egypt.
Yeah, that one. That was stupid, but at least I got
that
to see, like...
beyond stupid, sir.
At least for, like, a Disney movie, I saw parents getting high. Oh, yeah, Shia LaBeouf went
to Disney. Shia LaBeouf and Optimus Prime became Jesus. They shared the Jesus powers.
Yeah, I still like that better than
He
3.
Met, like, the robot gods, and they sent him back to Earth.
No, they said, hey, the power is in you if you... Just
power
believe.
Is and... yours.
Okay, but like, as much as you hate 2, at least there wasn't like a whole society of like people with robots in 3, so.
3, I mean, the end of 3 was good. It was a pretty awesome.
Was it?
It was a pretty awesome action sequence.
I don't know. Shotgunning people in the face is not exactly like a build-up.
Well, I mean... The whole you have to like slog your way through the first hour and a half of Transformers 3, which is just like Shia LaBeouf goes and gets a job interview at like John Malkovich's business, and then John Malkovich is there for some reason, and he has like color coordinated levels of his office, and
naturally,
and then like
did he see through
like,
Joe?
Then like evil nope. Patrick oh, Dempsey. Man. It's like
that's what I'm saying. The super like I'm a nice guy. Like no, you're not. You're so fucking evil. There's no shock.
Hey,
you know, there's no twist.
Yeah, let me hit on your girlfriend. You're crazy. You dumped your model girlfriend for a hotter model girlfriend.
For an equally as hot equivalent exchange. Yeah. Like, he didn't date down, so that's why I felt bad. Like, I didn't feel bad for that, because it's like, fuck you, like, Sam Woodwicky. Like, you had this badass chick.
And she was like a insanely rich, like, White House aide.
Was she rich?
They lived in a goddamn mansion. That was her mansion. She's like Cheryl from Archer.
Yeah, so for some strange reason, she like got a government job working in the White House. I thought she left that job though.
And then she just like she designed museums for some reason or something, or like that was like she was an interior designer or something. I don't know. Like Patrick Dempsey hired her to like design his like crazy museum.
Oh yeah, see that's why I hate. At least 2, the ideas are so obscure, they stick with you. 3, they're, like, going for mundane shit that, like, it doesn't matter anyway.
Soundwave and, Laserbeak were, like, forcing humans to, like, do their bidding since, like, the 60s. They forced Patrick Dempsey's dad to, like, do the mission to the moon. So they try to get the like find the Autobot ship, and then they're like forcing him to like do their like find out whatever he's doing, and then they force Ken Jeong to do his do whatever he did at the office.
I thought Patrick Dempsey's dad totally was with them because they had that weird rich society cult.
I don't,
but anyway, that shit I kind of hope doesn't come back, but it gets replaced by like Techno Jesus shit again.
Well, they're Mark Wahlberg. Seems like they're kind of just dope. Like it's a reboot, but they're not really calling it a reboot. It's a sequel, but like it's all new Autobots except for Optimus and Bumblebee. There's all new villains, all new characters. There's like nothing from the first one except Optimus and Bumblebee.
Really, I think like there's one of them that kind of looks like Megatron or Starscream.
I've heard people are kind of speculating or theorizing that maybe Megatron comes back as Galvatron. Like Transformers the movie, the cartoon style. Where he got quote-unquote killed and then the Unicron brought him back as Galvatron. And his alternate form was a giant gun, which it looks like he transformed, like the robot in the trailer that's like shooting Optimus Prime is like a giant gun.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's shot in the chest in the first 2 seconds of the trailer, so I was like, yep. Ah, what's this? I'm hoping he comes back as a giant ape.
Oh my god, yes. If he turned into Optimus Primal and it just turned into Beast Wars, dear god.
I don't... See, that to me, that's a true, like, sequel slash reboot, is like the next generation, not like, okay, we're going back to 4 Malik shit.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned that fucking Grimlock. Redeem the entire movie. Just the fact that Optimus Prime is riding Grimlock.
I don't know.
And Grimlock looks like fucking Godzilla. he's gigantic. Like, he makes Optimus Prime look like a midget.
But wait, what's the one that he's riding? That's not Grimlock, is it?
It's a giant T-Rex, Chris.
Then what's the other thing that's chasing them?
Like, the dragon thing?
Yeah.
People aren't sure. Like, I think people are saying, like, it might be some other Decepticon that showed up, but it's not, because there was a pterodactyl, I think Slag or Sludge. There was Slag, Sludge, and then, like, two more Dinobots.
I don't remember their, like, exact origin from the Series 3. Transformers and they appeared
in,
right?
In the game, like if you played, was it Fall of Cybertron, the second one?
I did not play any.
They were just normal like vehicle Cybertronians, and then they got captured by Shockwave and got turned into Dinobots because he like had researched Earth and found like the dinosaurs and were like, oh, I should transform them into like this, try to transform into like these forms or whatever.
Cool.
And they'd be super powerful. We could control them, destroy the Autobots.
I mean, I did like the fact that the cartoon and some of the comics kind of explain that, like, without the armor, like, they're actual just, like, organic mechanical beings. And that they can get forced into, like, shapes, you know? They're not just like, oh, like, you're built like this and now you're that. Even though it's, like, on another planet, like, a truck wouldn't make goddamn sense, you know? And that's why I always thought about that as a kid. I'm like, how did they figure out if they're older than actual dinosaurs and they became dinosaurs? That doesn't make any sense. But the movie always has these weird pre-origins tales that always, like, recant the origins of the prior one.
Like, even more things that happened that you didn't mention in the first movie.
Yeah, they go, by the way, there's a thing on the moon. And oh, okay. And then
we
like,
also had the Ork. That was...
I know, like, just weird shit. Oh, I forgot to mention, like, the Optimuses, or the Primes, right. Like, all these old things, like, huh?
Going back centuries.
I was a monkey once. What?
That monkey held my spark and his spark together, and he turned into a giant half-vehicle
truck monkey.
Truck.
And then we killed the first primates. It was terrible.
So, anyway, Transformers were out in June. I'm sure we'll have to check it out at some point. I think I have to see it just because Grimlock's in it, so. There's also an extended trailer for Winter Soldier, Did you guys see that one? Yep. Like a 2 minute long Winter Soldier trailer?
Yeah.
I think it keeps getting looking more and more awesome each time they can put out a new trailer.
I try not to see so much because I analyze the trailers too much and it spoils the experience for me a little.
Do you try you try to guess what the plot is based on the trailer?
Yeah.
Well, they don't make it hard nowadays either.
No, they don't. They don't at all. So,
but yeah, the new trailer had a ton more Winter Soldier in it. Like you get to see some of his like creation and stuff, and then kind of more of like he attacks Nick Fury at some point, and then that's kind of why Cap and everyone's going after him.
I'm Nick Fury, motherfucker.
Or so he seemed mm-hmm. to say.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it looks pretty awesome. Like, just like the shot, like possibly like S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier versus S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier or something, or S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier is crashing, and like Falcon looks pretty great. Winter Soldier looks like a pretty awesome, like Marvel movies have been struggling a little bit with like their villains, but I think Winter Soldier looks like a pretty awesome villain.
Yeah. I agree.
And the first Phase 2 movie of 2014, so hopefully it kicks it off in a awesome fashion. And then also there was a... Did you guys see the 4-minute Spider-Man trailer?
No.
That basically goes through the entire plot of Electro.
Yep.
Also,
it shows like, oh man, nerdy Max Dillon, he ran into Spider-Man. Oh man, he fell in a vat of electric eels.
Spider-Man, you know who I am.
Like, at first he's like a weird socially inept, almost like functional handicap person.
Yeah.
He goes full retard, yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't like my Max, whatever, like that Max version. Dillon.
You're like white collar, like a blue collar electrician guy who gets struck by lightning under an electric pole.
Yeah. Or the, even the weird, Marvel, the Spider-Man TV show where he's like the son of like Red Skull.
Okay.
Yeah, but at least that, like, ties him into the universe in a more competent way.
Yeah,
like,
this one.
I don't like that either, but it's better than him just being, like, fucking Edward Nygma from Batman Forever.
Yes, that is a huge vibe of that, where it's like he comes
obsessed with Spider-Man. Supposed to understand.
That's, yeah, there's like a giant wall of, like, weird praising of Spider-Man that he just collects, you know, like
I'm
a psycho.
I'm Spider-Man.
It's like, whoa, you're kind of obsessed. Creepy. How are you? And, like, the moment where Spider-Man's trying to actually do his job of, like, be a hero, he gets pissed. He's like, oh, you don't remember my name. Ah, I hate you.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, I do. Your name is, like, he's like, yeah, you're my boy.
You're my eyes
and ears. Also, why does Spider-Man sound so Italian all the time?
Yo.
I don't understand. He's like, oh, I don't know. I'm trying to save the city. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Hey.
Take it easy over there.
Spend too much time. It's basically like, those construction workers who, like, gave him all the cranes last movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just, like, hung out with them too much.
Hey, Spider-Man, not for nothing. You owe us big time.
Union says you gotta pay your dues.
Oh!
Andrew Dice Clay is Kingpin.
Yeah. Andrew Dice Clay is every construction worker in the Marvel Universe.
My thing, too, is, like, I kind of enjoy his witty banter between Aunt May. But the thing is, it's like, it's Sally Fields, and he's probably, like, you know, by now, like, 19, 18, talking like he's 16 to his aunt.
It's a little bizarre, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, the first movie, it's like, every conversation was dramatic. Now it's, like, playful, like, she's just, like, blissfully does not give a fuck what he does.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm just weird, but there's probably gonna be some sexual tension going on.
Yeah, I mean, Mary Jane's already been seen, and who knows what happens to Gwen, so...
Yeah, really. Maybe Aunt May's the only one under... Because, listen, my Aunt May that I grew up with is supposed to be, you know, older.
Like, yeah, like
she's
like
an old... She's an old gal. Right, but Sally Field's, like, you know, not young, but at the same time, like, they're, you know... I don't know. It's definitely not, like, the traditional route, you know? Mm-hmm. Listen, it's not like they made it fucking, like... Sofia Vergara or something crazy like that.
But, Peter? Peter? Yeah.
Peter, do you want to check me for lumps? No, Aunt May.
I miss your uncle.
This is wrong. Come snuggle. Let me call you Ben. No.
Oh, yeah, and somewhere along this line of this movie, they kind of solve the mystery of Peter's parents. They just told you to hate that this time around.
I am so not looking forward
Secret
to that.
Secret Subway Lab.
Yeah, I was like, God what? Damn it. Who designed this? Oh, because, you know, I don't think they own the right to S.H.I.E.L.D. in this
nope.
one, right? So they
nope.
can't say S.H.I.E.L.D., so it's like...
It's all Osborn.
Sword.
Hammer. They could do Hammer.
No, Hammer's done by Hammer Industry.
No, Hammer is Norman Osborn when he rescued everyone from the Secret Invasion.
Oh, you're jumping. I'm used to it. My Marvel's, like, canted in, like, the 90s, so I didn't... Secret Invasion's, like...
Yeah, there's Secret Invasion. Norman Osborn saved the day by killing the Skrull Queen, and he formed... He got to be the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he disbanded S.H.I.E.L.D. and made Hammer. So, anyway, there's also trailers for Need for Speed, Noah, and Muppets Most Wanted. There's not any...
No, no, and yes.
Yeah. Apparently, Need for Speed is in 3D now.
Ooh-hoo-hoo. Didn't see that coming.
How is that movie not like a drive-through special? How is that Need for Speed like at a drive-through?
Listen, movie is going to be gorgeous to watch. I'll give you
probably,
that.
Probably, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to win any like Academy Awards for
no.
writing or like.
Oh no.
Best like fucking leading male, you know what I mean? I like Aaron Paul a lot. I think he's a very cool guy, and I'm a fan of his work. However, I don't know. Like starring in a Need for Speed movie isn't really like to me like a breakthrough in acting because it's a movie about cars that you can't buy going really fast in unlawful situations.
Seriously.
The movie? Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully it equals it being kind of hilariously, like, ridiculous and over the top. Just, like, everyone just, like, quoting, like, religious quotes and, like...
Yes.
Giving, like,
to their
everyone.
Credit. But to their credit, I can respect the fact that they're not coming out and just trying to be Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that would be worse. That would be worse. Car racing
movies
are ridiculous by nature. They always
would never be able to compare to Fast and Furious, and then everyone would be just like, oh, this is a Fast and Furious ripoff. Which I'm sure they'll probably still say, but...
Right. Oh, that's what everybody thinks. But at least they're trying to make their own way,
yeah.
You know?
I still get that first trailer for Need for Speed, though, was just insane. Just like, Aaron Paul, just like, my quest for revenge. I shall have my vengeance when they feel my hands around their throats.
Yeah. Ever since Mr. White left me.
After I drove off to Mexico.
I've been on a quest for revenge. Got the need for meth.
And,
I mean, speed.
I just gotta mention, too, I think Chris is pretty far behind, Joe, you don't watch, but 24, Live Another Day. They had the big promo for that during the Super Bowl.
Highlight of the Super Bowl promos for me.
All I needed to see was Jack yelling and firing a gun, and I'm like, okay, I'm back.
They were very
like, what the hell is that? Like foot, like that, like a
Foot Clan,
huh?
Ninjas?
No, like the like the shooting style. It's like high, like ultra. It's like slow mo, but it's like really. Still, like, I don't know. They didn't like the beginning of like Zombieland and stuff like that style of like it's like slow mo, but you can see exactly everything that's happening.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, Jack in London killing terrorists. I mean, I am there. I'm there and writing recaps every site.
Well,
so.
I was going to say that for me, it was the highlight of the Super Bowl ads. Because there was no Godzilla trailer. Let me repeat that. There was no Godzilla
yeah.
trailer. What the fuck are you thinking? You know, everything else kind of like, you know, the Spider-Man thing came and went really quickly and didn't really grab my attention.
There was a surprising amount of, like,
terrible.
Well, no, it was like action. Like, our like our action heroes in commercials. Like Terry Crews and the Muppets. Jason Statham was doing like that. Did you get, it was like the was it Xfinity or something. He was trying to watch Downton Abbey on his tablet, and then he was on an airplane, and then people were talking or something, so he beat the shit out of them on an airplane.
I missed that. I did get up to go walk my dog at one point.
Arnold playing ping pong for Bud Light.
Did not care for it.
There was,
wanted to love it, hated it.
There was the Matrix Kia commercial.
Hated that more than the Arnold
one. There was like the weird, Ben Kingsley, Mark Strong, Tom Hiddleston, Jaguar commercial that's like...
Evil British guy drives Jaguar.
That was good.
That was really good.
British villains.
Yeah, that was cool.
But I'm like, oh, does everyone in Britain, like, have 90 grand, like, and 90 pounds to drop on, like, a Jaguar?
They all just drive Jaguars and don't tell us. It's a Jaguar.
Jaguar. So, anyway, why don't we get into, sorry we haven't gotten to this yet, but the third crazy thing that happened over the last week or so is that, Jesse Eisenberg has been cast as Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman.
This is not a drill.
I hope, like, I mean, let's do the dissing first before we find some salvation.
Go.
Okay. So they saw like the Social Network and went, yep, this guy is a great Lex Luthor because he knows how to fake program.
He knows what the kids like.
But I think I think they probably liked more of his
awkwardness, terrible acting, terrible awkwardness. No,
it wasn't terrible act. It was just like
whiny. What are you looking for? Whiny?
No.
Is that a word?
Oh, his ability to be exactly like Michael Cera in every way.
Oh, is Michael Cera Canadian?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, so this is like, I think Jesse Eisenberg's not. Like, he's the American answer to...
USA. USA. Oh, man,
they're mainly going for, like, because his arrogance that he had in Social Network, I think that's probably what they're most going for with, like, Lex Luthor.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Lex Luthor. You know why he's arrogant? Because he has a commanding, dynamic presence. He's a super genius, and he could kick the shit out of most people. You know? Jesse Eisenberg, like, come on, man. Like, we don't want a fucking, like, awkward Lex Luthor, do we? And that's what you're going to get, because that's who he is. He's typecasted himself.
I think if they're going for, like, this weird reboot, and, I mean, okay, so we're all used to, like, the powerful, demanding Lex Luthor, right? What about we get this, like, weak Lex Luthor that, like, he's all power in a sense of, like, paper, you know? But when it comes down to it, he can't actually, like, fight. He hires people. Like, he'll do the weird, the Gene Hackman Lex Luthor. Like, he didn't fight Superman. He schemed, you know?
Absolutely.
He was a schemer more than an actual, like...
But my biggest problem is how much this gives away just in the casting itself. Because think about it. Now it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that the villain is Metallo and that it's made by LexCorp. It's also pretty much a foregone conclusion that at some point he's going to be in the crazy Lex Luthor mech suit that appeared in Gods Among Us. You know, it's just...
Well, that suit made way more appearances than that.
Well, I know, but most recently and most popularly and most horrifically made its appearance in Injustice. Because that was just like, I mean, that looked like fucking, like the fucking Sonic, like, villain, like, was it Dr. Robotnik or whatever? I don't remember. It looked like some crazy, like, invention from a Mega Man game, you know? It didn't look like something that I believe... You know, this crazy obsessed billionaire would build and pilot.
No, I mean, even in the Super Friends, he just like wore a shirt, and that was like his plan.
Listen, I'm not saying that he needs to be an exact incarnation of the classic comic book Lex Luthor. I'm not saying that at all. But let me ask you something, and be honest. Would you say that Jesse Eisenberg is a charismatic actor?
Like a high school movie, maybe. Like if he's trying to win the heart of like a awkward girl.
Yeah, maybe if he's running for class president, he could be charming and like, you know, charismatic. And here's the thing, by the way, I'm not shitting on him. I happen to like him as an actor. I enjoy his films. But the problem that I have is that, like, you took this role. You know? So, like, you knew that cunts like me were going to come out of the woodwork and shit all over you. And that just sort of has to happen. Nature has to run its course here a little bit. But the other thing that's really kind of shocking to me is when you look at some of the names that are coming out for Lex Luthor that they were considering. Like, apparently, Bryan Cranston was never in the running, which is just shocking to me. Especially given, like, the fan, like, outpouring, mm-hmm. you know, and demand for him. But Tom Hanks was in contention.
So Walt Disney and then, is Lex Luthor?
Yeah. Yeah, which, Tom Hanks, really? That's frightening.
That'd be interesting, if because it'd be, like, it could be, like, a super likable Lex Luthor. Like, everyone loves him, and then the audience sees, like, his, like, he's totally evil.
Yeah, behind closed doors, he's, like, fucking and strangling puppies. Yeah, and then to make matters even worse, Joaquin Phoenix turned down the role. So there was truth to that rumor, but apparently he had better things to do and bigger checks to cash, which I don't really understand. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, Tom Hanks, Joaquin Phoenix, I guess, I mean, they're not in the same league by any means, but at least they're closer alike to each other than Jesse Eisenberg is to either of them. So where did Jesse Eisenberg come from? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems so disjointed. Like, it seems like Joaquin Phoenix and possibly Tom Hanks were one person's idea. And then Jesse Eisenberg is just, like, a totally different direction.
It has to come mostly from Social Network.
Without a doubt, because what else are they going on? Zombieland? Like, he hasn't... Or,
Now You See Me?
Adventureland? Like... Yeah, Now You See Me? Like, I don't know. And I don't think anything that he's been, granted, The Social Network comes closest, but I don't think anything that he's been in merits, yes, let's make him the face of the villainous aspect of the DC cinematic universe. Because face it, other than the Joker, like, who's the biggest villain that they're gonna have in the DC universe on film? Lex Luthor. It's not gonna be fucking, you know, Captain Cold. You know, it's not going to be Sinestro. It's going to be Lex Luthor. And if anything, he's one of those villains that could kind of, like, stick his hands into multiple cookie jars. Like, if they really are building a DC universe, like, it's entirely possible that he might show up in more than just Superman's movies.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe if we see some pictures or something of, like, what he's gonna actually look like. Like, is he gonna be bald?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, it doesn't really fucking matter. It really doesn't, because whether they shave his head or not, he's still gonna be that actor. I'm like, that's just who he is. That's just, like, what you're getting. Like, we're going to have a snarky, cunty Lex Luthor who is going to be bratty and whiny.
LexCorp is
going to
be
a
web startup.
Right. Right. And if it's not, then it's going to be, like, I don't know, maybe it was his dad's company or some, you know, I don't know. It's just too obvious to me. It's just too obvious what they're doing. You know, because now Bruce is going to be like, oh, this guy's a young twat. I'm going to have to look into him. Oh, he's doing bad things. Maybe Clark was right. Like, come on, man.
The other casting that I think no one really has a problem with is that Jeremy Irons is going to be Alfred.
I don't mind. At least he's like a UK guy, you know, like he's not going to be like, I don't know, like Louis C.K. is Alfred, like, you know, like he's not going to be like an Americanized guy.
No, it's going to be, well, it's going to be Scar. It's going to be his, Alfred is Scar.
But like Jeremy Irons is not going to be like Scar talking to Bruce, you know?
Don't be kind of cool.
If they go with like Earth 1 or whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it'd be cool if it was like Earth 2 Alfred, where he's just like super badass, like former SAS.
Oh yeah, Earth 2, yeah. My bad. Yeah, well that's what I meant. Like, I don't know. I don't want like Frank Castle Alfred, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Brucey boy, you want to help me fix a car?
When are you gonna kill?
I teach you that Tiger Showman karate in the junkyard.
Afraid you're gonna like it too much.
Well, I mean, that's basically how, like, in, like, Earth 2, like, he's just like, I've killed people, Bruce. I don't think you have what it takes to kill people.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about that, what was it, Stan Lee Presents Batman?
No, we're talking about, actually, maybe it was. There were a few, and even, like, Beware the Batman had,
like, military Alfred. Like
that sort of badass military Alfred, yeah. It's very bizarre. But I'm far more okay with Jeremy Irons, because at the end of the day, I mean, how big is Alfred's role possibly going to be? Like, I don't think it's going to be any bigger than Michael Caine's Alfred role.
Yeah, he'll show up,
you know?
like
it's not...
Batman will consult him for one pivotal scene before, like, realizing that Superman's not the enemy or something.
Okay, yeah, so here's the one.
Perhaps he's your ally, sir.
Yeah,
like, you're fighting the Irons.
You're fighting for the same
for
thing.
For your consideration. Yeah.
Like,
my God.
Okay, so here's the one important
right,
key.
Damn it.
The one important key that'll make or break the Alfred is, will he run away? Like, Batman needs him the most. Will he run away?
Will he have an estranged, long lost niece?
Yes.
Who shows up?
Who is American, even though he's British?
Yes, and turns things upside down. Will he get McGregor syndrome?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Coincidentally, that is the same disease my wife is suffering from.
Stage one is you get tired. Stage two, don't
know.
Dead. Stage four, ice.
Freeze.
McGregor syndrome. Very mysterious.
Yeah. Take two, call me in the morning.
Size of a tangerine.
Yeah, God. Yeah, man. I don't know. It should be cool. I'm hoping that they go for the more like classic British Alfred.
Yeah.
Like the proper regal British Alfred, and not the like chimney sweep Alfred. No disrespect to Sir Michael Caine, who did a tremendous job, but just like,
yeah.
I don't know. Alfred's supposed to be like, you know, this. I mean, his last name is Pennyworth. He's fucking, he's like a royal, he's a butler to royalty.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I fancied I shagged this one time with a girl I did. Like, okay.
He really is like Austin Powers' dad.
Right, right. Like, get the soot off your face. Like, come on. Fucking running around.
So, anyway, on the Marvel side of things, actually breaking right before we started recording the podcast, is that, Evangeline Lilly is apparently in talks to be the female lead of Ant-Man.
Interesting.
Is that the Wasp? Maybe.
I don't know. I'd kind of have to imagine.
They have to get her in there at some point.
Yeah.
Because she's like OG Avenger, like probably before Captain America joined the Avengers.
He joins in, like, 8 issues later or something like
that,
compared to, like, they were the starting team.
And if you have Ant-Man, you have to have at least, if she's not Wasp, at least have her be Janet, the first movie, and then turn into Wasp, like, later. I don't know, do either of you guys see Lost? Or, I know neither of you guys saw The Hobbit, but did you see Lost, at least?
Yeah, I used to watch that in and out.
Yeah, I quit.
But you're familiar with Evangeline Lilly?
I am,
but isn't Rashida Jones up for it?
Oh my god, yes, that'd be so much. Get the I Love You Man reunion going. Get Jason Segel in there.
Not even like kidding. I'm reasonably positive she's in the running, so that could be interesting too.
I would definitely be way more down with Rashida Jones than Evangeline Lilly, I think.
That's what I. And I think Rashida Jones would probably tilt it more towards that, like, you know, tongue-in-cheek version of Ant-Man that we're pretty much all but guaranteed to get at this point.
The wacky heist movie.
Yeah. Whoa!
Full of Edgar Wright quick cuts and close-ups and possibly going to pubs. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully there's a Simon Pegg, Nick Frost cameo at some point in Ant-Man 2.
I would be offended if there weren't.
It's just like lab scientists or something? Or random S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
Kind of like how they did that to Simon Pegg in like Mission Impossible 2 or 3, was it? 3?
3 and 4, he's a pretty super major character.
Not in 3. 3, he's like, hey, I found this report. Bye.
He was in probably like 5 minutes of that movie. 5-10 minutes. So anyway, other news. Seth Gordon, who directed King of Kong and then also did Horrible Bosses and Identity Thief, and is executive producing The Goldbergs right now. He's apparently signed on to direct the Uncharted movie that's been in the works for a few years now. That was last we heard of it, it was going to be directed by David O. Russell and starring Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm glad that there's progress happening.
Mm-hmm. And with him, I think it definitely skews it back toward like the adventure humor, like comedy adventure side of things.
Yeah.
The David Russell one was this weird, like, they never go treasure hunting. They like run an antique store, and it's like weird family drama about like Nathan Drake and his father or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Christ.
It was gonna be like The Fighter, but with like running an antique shop.
You ain't running this antique shop, not you, not you, not you.
Exactly.
I kind of think the best way to do an Uncharted movie is to make it literally just like the games. Yep. You know, because those are basically, for my money, the best example out there of games that play like fun. Fucking awesome movies.
The closest we have to Indiana Jones.
A next generation Indiana Jones.
Like if someone was gonna remake Indiana Jones, it should be like Uncharted.
Yeah, oh for sure.
I guess he apparently also just like the day after that he signed also signed out to direct a like a Lewis Carroll biopic.
That is
not
creepy.
Promising.
So, like, the guy, so, kind of like, it's about his, like, his relationship that inspired, like, Alice in Wonderland or something.
Oh, it's kind of like Finding Neverland.
Kind of, yeah, but with the Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, but Lewis Carroll was, like, kind of like a creepy pedophile mathematician.
Are you not confusing him with Mad Hatter, the Batman villain, Chris?
No. Lewis Carroll had a thing for this girl, Alice. That was the point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he was a mathematician, and he just, like, wrote this fairy tale about this girl that he was kind of obsessed with. It's like, when you read into it, it's like, it's dark. Like, it gets really dark.
So, other news, House of Cards is renewed for a third season before it even starts, the second season.
Should I watch that?
Yeah, you guys should catch up in, before it airs in a week. Well, I mean, they're all going to get dumped on next Friday, so you can catch up any time, but if you want to be, like, on top of it, then watch the first season before next Friday. Also, and then the other news, Adult Swim is getting expanded to basically take over all of primetime on Cartoon Network now. Ooh. So Adult Swim's going to start at 8 p.m. now and go till 6 a.m.
Whoa.
Well, that's...
That's a lot.
That's excessive.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
And I guess it's gonna 8 to, like, 8 to, like, 10 is gonna be sort of, like, their Family Guy, Cleveland Show, like, other, like, reruns. And then starting at 10, they're gonna start their original stuff. And then go from there.
Do they have enough content for that for a whole week? Like, for the whole... Because, like, I remember...
It's gonna be a lot of anime.
No, that's Saturdays.
Yeah, they just
for now he's
back. It's Saturday. That's it.
But I'm saying like,
right now,
I remember a time when they would show like an hour of King of the Hill, then like an hour of Family Guy, and then I think
King of the Hill somewhere in there. It'll probably be like Family Guy, Cleveland Show, or King of the Hill or something, and then they have Robot Chicken that can air. Rick and Morty is actually doing super good for them. Like, have you guys seen Rick and Morty yet?
Yeah,
It is fantastic. Like, it's like if Futurama was dark and disturbing.
It's like a really fucked up version of Back to the Future, the TV show.
But like scenarios like Futurama dealt with, like, oh man, wacky invention, but then Rick and Morty takes it to like this like insane level of like destroying the entire planet every episode, or like weird, like we have to murder ourselves or.
Oh, yeah, like, there can't be two of us in this universe. Yeah. Like, okay, did you actually watch the Back to the Future cartoon series?
Some of it, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like that, and this is just a really dark
version. Yeah, if Doc Brown was just, like, a raging alcoholic who just invented horrible inventions.
It's kind of like, what if Doc Brown didn't get married and all his life was, like, a shambles?
Yeah, it was, like, his daughter. Yeah, apparently Rick and Morty is beating Archer in the ratings.
Whoa.
Jesus Christ.
So,
I thought it was popular, but not
that
popular.
Yeah, it is doing gangbusters, so. So definitely have that. They have Robot Chicken. They have NTSF, they have Children's Hospital. If Black Dynamite ever comes back, they do Black Dynamite.
Yeah, what the fuck is happening with that show? Like, where
is it?
It's
been, like, 2 years, hasn't it?
I know. And all the actors have already, like, confirmed season 2 is happening. But it's just not, like, it's happening, but it's not happening. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Bizarre at best.
I don't know, what other shows? They have, like, Eric Andre show, Eagle Heart.
That show is so hard to watch.
Eagleheart, China, Illinois. Is Aqua Teen still on?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Like,
in
it's
some
like
form.
Seventh name change. We're just turning like Aqua, whatever, ever.
Whatever, as long as it's still around.
I mean, yeah, I think they definitely, if they're going to expand it that much, I think they definitely need to get some new blood in there.
Mm hmm.
I mean, I don't mind if they bring back the Brack Show, like really old adult
stuff. Oh my god,
stuff,
then, yeah,
just
that'd be,
for
that'd be awesome. That you bring, like classic, like bring C-Lab back or something, or
if they ever do like another like Space Ghost talk show. Because like I didn't get the jokes till years later, and now it's like kind of weird to find like Space Ghost clips.
I would fucking love for them to bring back the Brack Show reruns. That would be incredible. Mm.
They could always air, like, Mr. T's T-Force or Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
Or Rambo.
Oh, my God. If they started airing Rambo, that would be amazing. Or Saved by the Bell. Remember that? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, that was bizarre and
that
appropriate.
That was one of the most hilarious things ever. Like, it was weird by itself, but it was hilarious when, like, they kept showing, like, all the angry comments they kept getting. Like, all the Twitter posts and Facebook posts were like, what the fuck are you guys now? Like, crappy 80s TV show network? And they changed their name to that for the entire week. Like,
that
instead of
awesome.
Adult Swim in the bottom right, it was like, crappy 1980s TV show network. Oh my god. And they had, like, those insane, like, Tim and Eric style, like, promos for everything, where, like, they slowed it down and multiplied it and, like, flipped it around and, like, put weird filters over it. I'm so excited. So, anyway, speaking of cartoons, our last bit of news for this week is that apparently Disney is going to reboot Chippendale Rescue Rangers as a live-action CG hybrid movie.
I heard that. I thought that was a rumor.
It's all over the place, so I think it's pretty much it's kind of confirmed, Chris. Yeah.
Damn.
So I'm assuming Smurf style.
Yes, exactly.
Where the Rescue Rangers will be like CG and they'll be interacting with like humans.
Well, I thought like most of the cases they didn't really interact a lot of human kids.
They get their cases. They just like heard about it.
Like animals would arrive at their like treehouse and then it's like come to this factory.
It wasn't like the Rescue Aid Society where they got like letters from children to like help them.
Nope.
And it sent like Miss Bianca out and Renard to go and like go find the like orphan girl or whatever. Rescue orphan girl from Louisiana.
I'm surprised they didn't like bridge that.
It's basically the same exact thing.
Rescue is like the one key word, and then it's like, what's the difference between a ranger and like
except
a caseworker?
The Rescue Rangers had like an evil like mafia boss that they fought against. They had Fat Cat.
They had a lot of villains. Like a lot
Rescue, Rescue Rangers, like the Rescue Aid Society had like awful humans.
Like, boy, did they.
What was the relationship with that little girl and her aunt?
She just took her from the orphanage and said, I need this little girl for, like, a week. And they're like, okay.
Oh, she had small hands.
To go reach inside a skull and get a diamond.
That was it. Like, she couldn't find a stick. Yeah. She couldn't find a stick, so she took a human hostage. That was that's dark Disney for you. Like that was a Disney classic.
Unlike her dilapidated, like crumbling
Louisiana steamboat,
paddle boat, and
she had a butler for no reason.
Yeah, and two pet alligators that she fed people to.
Because why not?
That was a thing.
The only episode of Rescue Rangers that I actually like remember strongly is the episode where like there was a weird like soda cult where like everyone drank the soda and were like super obsessed with the soda, and then
you became purple.
Yeah,
or
and they had, like, there's a crazy song that they sang, and I think
was it Coca Cola?
Like, it was like Coca. Yeah, it was like Coca Cola or something. And I think Dale got like joined the cult or something at some point.
The like most racist episode I saw was the one with like the panda bears using peanut butter to like dig their way out of a zoo. Remember that? They built an Asian machine out of bamboo that ran on peanut butter, and they had to steal things for someone else, I think. But like the fact that they were like pandas, they were like, it's like this is also during like the 90s where like ninjas were in, and they didn't know what like. Pandas are not like Japanese ninjas, but they were kind of like ninjas. I remember watching this like when I was like
Kung
four.
Fu Panda.
Going, this is, yeah, no, this is post.
What are you talking about, Chris?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Kung Fu Panda. I thought you meant like Hong Kong Fooey. So it's like that. Like,
what?
Somehow I heard that. I thought Hong Kong Fooey. I'm like, this is right after Hong Kong Fooey error.
Yeah.
So it's like, none of this shit makes sense. It's just like, oh, it's Oriental. So.
The Secrets of the Orient.
Yeah, so, like, I just remember going, I was four watching this, going, like, something about this is wrong, but I can't quite put my finger on this.
Right. I think they're talking about me.
Is this, like...
I don't know why, but I'm offended. I feel like I should be offended.
So, you know, if nothing else, maybe they can do a, DuckTales Remastered style of, like, the Chip and Dale game for the NES. Time for the
cool. The surviving cast.
Because that was an amazing game.
Twas.
As were all those Capcom Disney games. So anyway, I think that's it for the news this week. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about. Alright, so let's get into the newest roundup for the week, and our pick of the week is Escape Plan. Stallone and Schwarzenegger teaming up for the first time ever. If you don't count Expendables, like this is like just.
Yeah.
This is like full on like Stallone and Schwarzenegger co-starring together. And I would say it's probably the best out of the, like, Bolt to the Head, Last Stand run of last year.
Cool.
Like, definitely, I think Arnold's the reason to watch it alone, because he's super, like, he's like the character Leaf to Sly. He's like, super, like, his usual, like, serious self.
Goody.
Justice League War is also out this week. The latest DC animated movie.
Which, oddly enough, is supposedly starting, yeah,
it's gonna
like,
kick up, a continuity. It's going to kick off a DC animated universe.
Not a great choice for kicking off a DC animated universe.
Well, I mean, it's based on the Justice League book that kicked off the New 52, so...
No, I know, but it's, like, starting with an all-out shit show, like, I don't know.
That was a pretty awesome story arc that they had. I hope...
Yeah, but they're notorious for, like, how do we take this awesome thing and cram it into 70 minutes? I don't know.
I really hope the Aquaman scene's in there still. There's a part where, like, because the whole premise is, like, these aliens are invading. Kind of like Avengers style, like Avengers movie, where the Chitauri start invading. It's basically, like, that. Like the end of Avengers is basically this entire, like, story arc is, like, the Justice League has to come together to, like, fight these aliens. And the way Aquaman is introduced is that he summons sharks, like at least half a dozen sharks to like eat the aliens, and they just like burst out of the water behind him, and it's just like Aquaman standing on a dock with like sharks behind him.
Do they make a Sharknado?
Almost. I'm sure Aquaman might be able to make a Sharknado if he could.
I'd like to hope he is the king of the sea.
And it was like, it's like right, they make a joke, like I think Green Lantern or something makes a joke, like, oh, Aquaman, what's your power? Talking to fish? And then he just like, summons sharks, and everyone's just like, oh,
shark rain, what? That's cool.
And then we also have Dallas Buyers Club, which is the big, the acting frontrunner for the Oscars this year, Matthew McConaughey. Jared Leto.
Oscar bait.
I've heard McConaughey's awesome in it.
I forgot what we called it, where it's like AIDS, like don't get AIDS, the movie.
Well, kind of, but then apparently like the cure for AIDS is Mexico, because he goes to Mexico and buys drugs, and then they help him, so he's like, I'm going to go buy drugs in Mexico and sell it in America.
Pretty much.
Also have About Time out this week, which is basically a sequel to Taxi Driver's Wife, but not really.
Huh.
Where it's like, I want to say Fred from Harry Potter, one of the twins. And finds out he can travel back in time. And then
If you get in a closet, you think about it, and you can just go back. It's like a really sappy romantic comedy, but the fact that it's like a sci-fi, like a slight sci-fi element in it. I want to see it. I like weird sci-fis like that.
Freebirds is out this week, too. The animated movie that came out there on Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. That movie made no money.
Actually, I think it did pretty good. Until, like, Frozen came out, like, 2 weeks afterwards and then buried it, but... also have The White Queen, which is a Starz show set... I think it's set around, like, the Roar of the Roses or something. It's, like, a historic... It's kind of like Game of Thronesy, but based on, like, actual history.
Yeah, I see it. It's slow. It's politically driven.
Slower than,
like
the normal Starz show?
Yeah, it's just, like, women crying and men just going, like, like, they're sighing a lot, like, my wife.
Yeah, it's like the war from, like, the female perspective.
Yeah, so all they do is complain about, like, their feelings while men are actually going out and doing things. I'm not even trying to be funny, like, that's just the show.
It's no Black Sails.
No, it's no Extra Pack Black Sails.
or Spartacus. Nothing could be Spartacus, but. Also have Night of the Demons, another cult horror classic coming out from, I think, Shout Factory. Who's just been, like, pumping them out on Blu-ray. My Little Pony Season 3 is out this week for all the bronies. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Family Matters Season 4 is out this week.
How's that on a complete
set? I think it might be.
How's that not streaming somewhere?
Yeah, that is weird.
I want to know. Seriously.
Burton and Taylor, which I think is it the Lindsay Lohan, like, Elizabeth Taylor biopic that everyone just, like, ripped apart on Twitter?
Most likely.
Oh, no, actually, this is the BBC America did one for some reason with Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
And Dominic West.
Exciting.
Also from BBC, The Lady Vanishes, which I think was a Hitchcock movie at one point.
Sounds familiar.
40th anniversary of Death Wish is out this week on Blu-ray.
Nice.
It's been 40 years? Yep. Damn.
And then also I have 10th anniversary editions of Napoleon Dynamite and Million Dollar Baby. And then the last thing out this week is Mortal Kombat Legacy on Blu-ray, which I think, I can't tell. It looks like it's the first season, which is weird. Like, I don't know why they're releasing the first season again, but.
Anyway, just one more time.
Just watch on YouTube, too. So. Anyway, that's it for the movies this week. So why don't we get into show and tell? And Joe, what have you been watching over the last week or so?
Not much, man.
Did you catch up on some stuff like Archer? Well, I think you've been watching Archer, but Justified.
Yeah, I've been watching Archer. I've been watching Chosen.
Did we talk about that already?
Chosen is the show on after Archer. I'm a fan. I think it needs to find itself a little bit, but I think it has potential. Archer has been tremendous. I didn't see this past week's, nor did I see this past week's Justified. However, both have been far beyond my expectations in terms of delivering the goods.
Archer,
so no complaints on that front.
Change Archer Vice is one of the best things that's ever happened.
Yes, because it's basically done nothing new to the show. Like, it hasn't changed it drastically, but it's like a gimmicky enough thing
they're already horrible. So now they just have like, now they can like justify their horribleness. Like, they don't have to be like, we're not.
Yes. Like, well, that's what I mean. Like,
it's like, cause like before they were like, oh, well, we're kind of working for the government. So we have to kind of like, what we're doing is we kind of have to be legal about this. Now it's just like, well, we're going to go visit Mexico and sell a bunch of cocaine to drug dealers and stuff. So, and Pam's addicted to coke. Which is probably the best thing, like one of the best things ever. Pam just devouring cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really write it much better than that.
It's like eating it out of a bag, like flour.
Yeah.
Also, Spoils of Babylon, do you right, Joe? Which is wrapped up this week.
Yes, I am totally caught up. I am totally caught up with that. And I love it. I mean, it's great.
I think last
just those beginnings and endings alone.
Eric Jean.
You know? Yeah. Pour the wine into my mouth.
Where he's like, I think I should be holding two glasses of wine for this. And then a third smaller.
Or even in the first episode when the first one he's got like the little like cordial, but he's also got the two glasses of wine and he's like trying to hold all three, like
the first episode with like the theme song that was insane.
Yeah, and then like the sponsors too that you never really see ever again, like except for like minor little things.
I think my favorite episode so far is the second episode where like Tobey Maguire goes to war and then ends up in like a Japanese prison camp. They could just escape at any time. But, like, chains, like, walking out.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that's, they had the amazing scene of, like, Val Kilmer's general, like, explaining that, like, Tobey Maguire is probably dead. And then it keeps cutting back, and, like, Christian Wiig's in a different position every time you cut back to them.
Yeah.
And also, they keep ramming home the fact that, like, they're obviously not in the same room together.
Hmm.
Like, it pains me to inform you about this in the same room. That we're all in the same room, and I have to tell you about this tragedy that's happened in the same room.
Well, I like when Haley Joel Osment and Kristen, like when he keeps like standing up then sitting down.
Yep.
And say, like, that was so random, mm-hmm. but hilarious.
And like, and the Jessica Alba Kristen Wiig slap fight.
That just didn't stop happening. Yeah, that was incredible.
It's like, oh,
that just really that was like Family Guy level.
And then Tony McGuire's just like standing off the side, just like grinning maniacally, drinking a scotch. It's like, yes, that was wonderful. It's like, if you're a marine awesome. Biologist and I'm a space astronaut, and then Michael Sheen just dies for no reason, and no one cares. His one episode that he was on was amazing, though. I forget, he was like, I'm gonna go reread Little Women. It's like, again? It's like, Eleanor's my light! Yeah, I don't know how the hell they're gonna wrap it up in this last episode.
I don't know, I don't care, I just, you know, want to be there for it.
I also love the fact that you can kind of tell, like, there's, like, little, like, hints of, like, the fake reality coming through of, like, I definitely think that Tim Robbins' character is supposed to be British. Like the fake actor playing the character on this miniseries is British. Because, like, Sir Reginald whatever his name is. And then you can, like, his accent keeps breaking through in, like, the second episode and third episode of, like, whenever he's, like, getting super dramatic, he, like, breaks into, like, a weird British accent for no reason.
Yeah.
And then apparently, like, Eric Jeanrush was married to Kristen Wiig's character. Like, the actor.
Well, can we just talk about how ridiculous it is that they had the like, mannequin and, like, the baby doll? Like, that was fucking
That's why the second
great.
Episode is, like, the best episode so far, because it was just batshit insane. Of, like, a mannequin voiced by Carey Mulligan shows up, and no one, like, and then has, like, a super dramatic, like, bitch off with Kristen Wiig at the breakfast. I'm just like, where she just keeps like piling more food on and just like cutting it in randomly.
Yeah,
it's like, you'll never have him. And she's like getting super furious at like this mannequin that has no expression.
Wait, how many episodes are they planning to be? Because I've watched two out of. Okay, I watched two of them.
And they're gonna do a marathon on. Actually, if you're listening to today on Thursday, today, and then the last episode's gonna air today. Tonight at 10.
Oh, cool.
And then they'll probably be, I'm sure they'll be like on demand or something later. But yeah, I mean, it's if you like Castle Andre, I mean, it's that basically exactly that.
Yeah.
Anything else, Joe?
Still watching Parks and Rec. Mm-hmm. It's definitely getting better. I'm in season 4 now, and I'm a fan.
Woohoo! Yeah. So you've seen all the episodes, like, Ron has to, like, you talked about his ex-wife situations?
For the most part,
They just, like, they get more and more ridiculous.
My favorite so far is, like, the trial of Leslie Knope, where he's, like, mid-sentence, and he's like, she's here. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Can smell the sulfur on her hooves and wings.
I think has there been two Ron and Tammy episodes? Because they had, it was season 2 or 3, they had Ron and Tammy, and then they had Ron and Tammy 2 somewhere later, where, like, just Ron gets, like, there's one episode where, like, Ron gets, like, he shaves his mustache off, and it's, like, super proper, like, super polite to everybody.
Yes, yeah, well, that was because of Tammy 1, which is great. And I love that she was, like, so insane that it made, like, Tammy 2, like, run out of the building. Pretty big fan. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Is that the one where, like, they do a drinking contest?
Yes, with the, like, Swanson family moonshine. Yep. And then he just sort of, like, picks it up and chugs it drunken master style.
Have you gotten to the Snake Juice episode yet? Where,
yes. Yes.
Oh my god, this just like, I forget what, like, what the, like, they figure out what the, like, the combination of snake juice is, but it's like mostly like oil or something.
Oh no, I haven't got that far yet, but yeah, it's been prominently featured and it's been hilarious when it is.
They show they all drink it and then everyone just like, gets like insanely drunk, and like Ron just like dancing around with a crazy, like a little hat on his head.
Yeah, that was funny. It's good, man. I like it.
Yeah, it takes a while. Like, season one, like, ugh. After that, it slowly
takes a very long time. Yeah, even season two wasn't spectacular, but by season three, it's definitely a much better show.
Yeah, I think when they dropped Mark Bogdanowicz, and then...
Yeah, that shit was terrible.
So, anything else, Joe?
Nope.
All right, Chris, what have you been watching?
I was watching the same thing you guys were watching. I only followed like two episodes of that. And then I watched Black Sails. I'm not sure if we talked about that last time, did we?
You saw the first episode and we talked about, you reviewed it, but we're two episodes. I've seen both episodes now, and you've seen both episodes now, right, Chris?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty good. Like, it interests a lot of the characters. Like, more backstory. Like, more, like, you know, like, the first episode's definitely, like, a pilot-driven episode.
Yeah.
You know? And now this episode's kind of like, okay, like, we'll get into the business of, like, betrayal and, like, set up, like, all these inner...
Pirate Game of Thrones, because, like, everyone... Yeah, like, it's more... Like, there's definitely going to be some action, but a lot of it's, like...
Political intrigue.
The business of pirating and, like... The bureaucracy of pirating and, like, the politics of pirating.
The pirate council meeting thing, where it's like, okay, we just need, like, votes. So I was like, oh, okay.
That's, like, a historical thing. Like, they always voted, like, whatever, before they set off on, like, their, like, pirating raids, they, like, had to vote for who the captain was going to be.
So it's kind of cool. Like, you can be a captain, but it's like, if you want to have, like, a full crew and like,
cause support, like, you need to have. Parachutes were, like, the first, like, democratic sort of thing that happened. When everyone was, like, under, like, monarchies, they were, like, super democratic about it.
But the thing I didn't realize was they shared, like, the spoils. Like, each ship had to bring it back to, like, Pirate Island to kind of then divvy it up.
Some people would, it, like, assemble the crew, and some crew would not come on without, like, a certain percentage of, like, the take and stuff. So there's a lot of, like, negotiating between, like, how much the take everyone gets.
Right. So, you know, that's all good and all. Like, I wrote in my review, like, you kind of have to read Treasure Island before, so you're kind of, like, used to these characters. The thing is, like, it could have been, like, another show not related to Treasure Island. But unless they really are not going to...
The only thing is, super, like, blatantly, like, Treasure Island is the fact that, like, apparently Long John, like, John Silver has no cooking experience, even though he's going to be the cook of the ship. Like, so that's like, oh, I'm the cook. Wink, wink.
But, like, I'm talking about just, like, the foreshadowing, the fact that the structure is leaving it so, like, there's too many key characters already. Like, it feels kind of like, okay, it's getting to the point where, like, probably by the ninth episode, it's going to be so bloated with key characters that it's like, you're not going to worry about them being killed yet. You know, like all these like minor
characters besides Flint and Silver.
Flint, Silver, the Flint's right hand man is the guy that raises like what's his face from the Treasure Island, and then some of the other associate pirates are actual like folklore pirates.
Yeah, because you got so fucking Aunt Bonnie running around and stuff, so...
Aunt Bonnie, Calico Jack, yeah.
I think Charles Vane is an actual pirate, I think.
I forgot. Like, I'm saying, like, that's what I mean, like, these are characters introduced, they give them such rich background, just by, like, the dialogue. They're, like, they're not gonna, like, walk away and they get shot, you know? Like, they're gonna be around for a while.
Well, they could gain the Game of Thrones and just murder everyone at some point.
Right. They can pull like a red wedding at some point, but and fuck up the like it, the tension wouldn't be there anymore.
I don't mind things. If this was like a side story with like a whole set of characters that just take place in the universe, I'll be fine with it. But the fact that it's kind of like it's blatantly a prequel. So, again, I liked it. And in terms of movies, I finally saw Stitch, Snitch.
Snitch?
Yep.
Which is the Rock movie.
The Rock movie where he drives a truck?
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was,
It's definitely not, it's definitely not an edgier three-seat action thriller.
Wait, it was kind of posed that it would be. Yeah, but like when you see
trailer,
it, it's just
the trailer had that truck scene like front and center, even though that's like that's it, the only action sequence in the entire movie.
No, there's only two action sequences in that movie. There's like that scene, and then near the end where he's like running away in a truck.
Yeah.
But yeah, the story is about a father with probably the worst fucking luck ever in this time. And just, like, a court system that just does not give a... Like, the L.A. court system that just fucks around.
You know what Snitch reminded me of? John Q.
It's, like, the same universe where, like, just people are so over the top. And just bad luck happens to good people.
And it's, like... and also, like, railing against... Like, the movie is, like, a political, like, railing against, like, the drug laws or something. Like, they're way too strict or something. Or, like, how stupid it is that you can just, like... You can...
Yeah, that at the end that pops up. It's like, by the way, like you like, go to prison longer.
You can basically get off scot free if you just like name a bunch of people that you know who does drugs, and then they'll get arrested, and then you get off scot free because you led to arrests or whatever. But like the Rock's son is like named by one of his friends, and they're like, "Well, you're a drug dealer, so you're going to jail." Unless you help us get this big drug dealer.
Well, that was the Rock just kind of volunteered for that.
And then it's like he like just his big plan is like drive his like super like giant Escalade into like the wrong side of town to like try to buy like weed or something or cocaine or something. And like it's like it's like super obvious that he's like he has no idea what he's doing. He's like, "Hello, I would like to buy some pot cigarettes and some of the crack rock." And I was like, and they just pull him out and beat the shit out of him, even though it's the Rock. But
yeah, and the Rock is not like a small guy. The Rock is still the Rock. Yeah. So I don't know how like no one's questioning that. Where it's like he still looks like a shit brick house.
But he's kind of like more like restrained and docile in this movie.
I think the funny part was when you get introduced to his like other wife, his ex-wife and his son, and like they look nothing what they would make.
Mm-hmm.
Like his kid is just like a very pale man.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay. And his like new family's begging for like the attention. Yeah, you know, this is part where it's like his new wife is like, hey.
Yeah,
his like giant L.A. Beach, like a cliff mansion. I don't know
apparently
where he
the lived. World's like richest like truck distributor or something, like or like trucking company,
owner guy. Yeah, for someone with like who does so well financially, how is he such a bad father to like his past relationship?
Yeah, but they don't seem mad at him.
Well, he feels guilty. He's like, oh, I wasn't there for him. It's like, whoa. So what are you doing different now?
I married my other wife. Sorry about that.
And Jonathan Breithall does a good role of, like, I think the movie should have been about him. Not, because, like, he has, like, a reason to do the things. Like, he needs the money. Like, he's
hey, you look shady.
Yeah, it's like, he like, typecast. He like, what's it called?
Racial profiling?
Racial profiled him. It's like, hey, you have, like, a record. You want to help me do some... Yeah, it's like, wow, this is weird.
Yeah, I just so happen to know, like, the biggest drug dealer in Los Angeles. That's...
And plus, he's also friends with a giant cartel. Like,
I'm friends from Omar with The Wire. Omar, who apparently, like, moved across country to Los Angeles.
And, yeah, this guy is just bad luck. Mm-hmm. That Omar character guy.
Uma coming.
And what else? The funny thing was, Benjamin, what's his face? Matthew Benjamin?
Wait, what?
The actual cartel guy.
Oh, yeah, what the hell is his name?
Something Benjamin? Hold on.
It's not Benjamin Bratt.
I think it is. It? Yeah. Hey, it's Benjamin Bratt.
Yeah,
because he's like supposed to be this like super, like aggressive cartel guy, like part of the inner circle of cartels. And he actually does a good role. Like he's actually an active cartel like member, and he like doesn't just like demand orders and run away. Like he actually oversees things and he'll actually jump in. And that kind of like, it almost is like a Breaking Bad. Like, he's not quite up there of a Breaking Bad drug dealer, but it's like, oh, okay, like, at least he'll do his dirty work. But, like, all that falls apart by the end of the movie. All this, like, badass things. Like, it still comes down to,
like, the LA Expressway or whatever.
Well, yeah, it's like, it's just like, it's like he tries to pull this giant scheme to, like, get everything. Everyone kind of gets what they deserve at the end. But the Benjamin Bratt character, like, he has limits, apparently. Like, well, it's like, oh, I'm not just, spoiler alert, like, the fact that, like, a father do anything to, for their son is, like, the one of the, like, important plot points. So, like, apparently you brought his son to, like, a drug deal. Like, it doesn't make any sense how his kid's with them. And it's like, oh, am I gonna go on a firefight in front of my kid? So... yeah, let me get arrested. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it could have been like this badass fight, like, could have shootout thing, but nope. And then right when you're like trying to absorb everything, we're like, oh, so everyone kind of got like their own happy ending in a way. A bunch of stats pop like, up and
people,
like,
here's,
oh.
5 out of 10 people are wrongfully arrested for drug charges or whatever, and then the system's broken. And
I was like, hey, if you do bad things, some bad things happen to you. In a way, I don't know. Like I was like, I kind of like I understood the problem, but it's like if you do the right thing, like maybe this wouldn't happen. Like I say, like it's just like unfortunate terms and unfortunate scenarios. You know, it's like oh, they got greedy, they wanted more, and now look what happened. Like Omar was actually like part of the scheme. Like he wasn't, it wasn't like he did anything personal. Like this is just his nature to do this, and. He just got caught up into it too, and then
I should really force the Rock to do crack at one point. I think
like a line of crack.
You gotta show me you're not top man.
Either it was a crack or cocaine. I forgot, but it was something hard on a knife. Okay, it's like you watch it once and it's like forgettable really fast. That's the problem too, because there's so many like it's slow and it's not as high intense as like John Q was.
Yeah, because John Q is basically like. It was a hostage thriller, so it was like stuff was constantly like it was like super tense the entire time.
Right, and plus there was like so
this
many
is, like a lot of like there, the Rock's family crying at him, and then like Susan Sarandon yelling at him, and then like
no, Susan Sarandon halfway through the movie is like, oh, I'm focusing on my political campaign, so if you do this, this will look great for me. So she was like a greedy bitch, like. And then it's like, oh, you're just like a low-class villain now in this movie.
Yeah, just so, like it's mostly just slow and boring, kind of.
Yeah, there are a lot of slow points because there's a lot of like the Rock staring into nothing scenes.
Oh my god, my son.
So I mean, like it depends how you like your Rock. You like him in Stitch, or do you like him high as a kite in like Painting Game?
Man, that's a tough decision to like which one you would rather watch again.
At least Pain and Gain Rock is, like, joyfully entertaining, because he's, like, a big dulk. And this one, he's kind of like, he's sulking.
Yeah, I think if you got drunk, I think Pain and Gain would be fun to make fun of. Yeah, Snitch is just kind of like, meh.
Like, it's just too many bad things going on at once, where, yeah, it's a drama, but it's, like, too politically charged at some points.
And he's also in, Fast 6 and G.I. Joe last year, so those kind of like just were so much way better.
So yeah, like I'm just wrapping up 2013. it definitely would have been on any of my lists, because it wasn't good enough to be on my good list, and it wasn't bad enough to be on a bad list.
It's very, very mediocre. anything else, Chris?
That's about it.
Alrighty.
What about you?
So, I watched a couple things. I watched, keeping it on the kind of drug dealing level, I saw Stick, the Burt Reynolds movie. Because it's about to expire off Netflix, and actually expired last week, so I don't know how you're going to be able to watch again. Maybe we'll come back to Netflix sometime soon, but I watched it before it left, and it was so it's starring and actually directed by Burt Reynolds. And apparently it's also based on an Elmore Leonard story, so who also brought us Justified and Jackie Brown and a bunch of other movies, Get Shorty and all those. And they're usually those movies are like super like twisty, and like people are like setting up like cons that like pay off like 20 steps later at the end of the movie and stuff. This is kind of just more straightforward, like Burt Reynolds like trying to get revenge for his friend that gets murdered during a drug deal. And he plays Ernest Stick Stickley, who is a car thief who got locked away for like 7 or 10 years, something like that. And then hops a train like a hobo to Miami, jumps off the train, and then reunites with his friend who like wants him to come along on this drug deal, just like deliver some money and then get drugs or something, or deliver money and then like get paid later. And that goes bad because there's an evil albino cowboy who is paid to kill them. And so Burt Reynolds runs off after like burning half the Miami swampland, and he's trying to figure a way he can get revenge on like Chucky, who's this giant fat drug dealer who like set him up, and also Nestor, who's like this Cuban like drug supplier who's like running everything, and then like trying to like protect himself, Burt Reynolds becomes like the chauffeur for this like Hollywood big shot who lives in Miami and is also friends with Chucky, the fat drug dealer guy. So like he won't touch him if he's working for this Hollywood guy named Barry. And so like Burt Reynolds like basically becomes like his chauffeur and everything, and then kind of like sets things like is still trying to like figure out a way to like take down both of these drug dealer guys. And then meanwhile there's like the battle cowboy running around still, and then also Burt Reynolds is trying to like reunite with like kind of like reunite with his daughter and like build that relationship back up.
So he's trying to do like three things at once, like get revenge,
in Miami as like a chauffeur, and then also take down these drug dealers. Yeah.
I mean, the like
it kind of feels.
Was this an
80s movie?
So it's like, yeah, they always had a multi-purpose it kind of
feels like Vice City a little bit, where it's just like if Burt Reynolds is like just running around and like doing GTA missions and or like just being like random GTA characters, because they all feel like crazy GTA characters.
Well, I think Vice City was like inspired by Stick. Like just by Burt Reynolds, he was in it too.
I think also Keanu Reeves must have seen Stick at some point, because the main Cuban villain keeps saying like people owe him a life, which is like Keanu Reeves just like says all the time in Man of Tai Chi.
I gotta see that.
Oh
eventually.
Man, you have to watch that, Chris. That movie is awesome. You owe me a life. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Stick. I don't know. It's a fun, like Burt Reynolds being Burt Reynolds and punching people and like just hanging out in Miami and doing stuff movie. And then also saw Bronson finally. I never saw that before. The Nicholas Winding Refn, Tom Hardy, Britain's Most Dangerous Criminal movie. Which you've seen Bronson, right, Chris?
Yeah, I love Bronson.
It's pretty awesome.
It's inspiring.
I would say it's probably his like second most like mainstream movie. Like I would say if you want, like, definitely see Drive first if you want to like watch a Nicholas Winding Refn movie and you've never seen one before. And then if you like that, I would say probably go into Bronson. And then if you like that, probably see Only God Forgives.
Yeah, that's a good order.
And then I don't, like, I didn't really care for it, but maybe Valhalla Rising. Valhalla Rising was kind of way, like, the one that's kind of way too out there for me. Cause,
too artsy.
Yeah, it's too artsy. Just go, like, it just, there's no plot. Just, like, it's off. You're like, you're on a spirit journey, man. You're on this journey to insanity with these Vikings. Bronson, like,
yeah, Bronson's got really good, like, shots and cinematography.
Yeah, and it has, like, the insane sort of, like, bookends and, like, structure of, like, Bronson doing a stage play. Or a one-man stage show.
Well, he wanted to be an entertainer, so it's like, this was his way.
So you constantly get Tom Hardy in, like, crazy, like, clown makeup and, like, mime makeup and, like, doing, like, crazy, like, like stage performances of, like, there's that one part where, like, he's, like, having a conversation with himself, like reenacting the like the conversation with like that nurse.
Oh, it was like him being naughty.
Yeah, you have to take your medicine. He's like, I don't want to take my medicine.
It's entertaining. Yeah. Like, it's a very, like, I feel like it's gonna be shown for like art houses and shit. But just like it's so UK bizarre. Yep. Like, the part where, I think he goes to, like, sex orgy house.
Well, he goes to live with his, like, uncle, who's, like, a weird gay actor.
And yeah, okay,
His house is full of, like, drag queens, and also, like, the one random, hot girl that, like, has sex with Bronson, but doesn't want to, be like, marry him or anything, because she has a boyfriend or something. And then Bronson, like, blows up and, like, steals a ring from a jewelry store. And kill, like, basically almost kills the guy running the store.
Then just goes to jail.
And he just fucking loves jail.
Yeah, he just likes hanging out there and being charged.
Like, I want to go to my hotel. It's my hotel room. And then he just spends like his entire day just like walking in circles around his cell.
Yeah,
waiting for people to, like, waiting for the guards to show up so he can beat the shit out of them.
I mean,
he starts planning so, like, detailed for, like, his fights that, like, that last fight where, like, he, like, gets naked and has, like, the...
Grease himself up.
Yeah. Rub it on my ass.
it's entertaining. Everyone walked in the room and watched this. It's like, what are you watching? Oh, is that Tom Hardy? Like, yeah, that's
Tom Hardy. Yeah, is that Tom Hardy's Hardy?
Yeah, so besides seeing, like, naked shave Tom Hardy, what else did you see?
I also saw Death Racers for the latest Enter the Asylum, which is... if you can't tell, is the Asylum's ripoff of the Jason Statham Death Race movie.
Which is already a ripoff of the original.
It's a remake of the original, sort of. But, so, obviously they couldn't get Jason Statham. Like, who would you guess is in this movie, Chris, as, like, the star of this movie?
Is it a UK guy? Lou Perry?
No. How about the Insane Clown Posse?
No.
Yes.
What? So
it's starring ICP and the WWE's Raven.
I don't know who that is.
Just some random dude, apparently. But yeah, basically the plot is that it's kind of like there's some insane war that, like, one of those generic, like, wars that happens in, like, Judge Dredd or something where, like, the entire country gets blown up.
Oh, yeah. Wastelands.
So, and then also it's like Escape from New York, where they build like it's like section off an entire like section of like a city or like a state, and that's like the new prison. They just dump everyone in there. So they call it the Red Zone, and so Raven is like the head of the Red Zone. His name's the Reaper, and somehow he has like this like giant supply of sarin gas. He's gonna like dump into the water supply of the world.
The one supply. Yeah.
And apparently they're making sarin by like taking like blood and DNA from like dead people and turning into sarin gas somehow. Because science.
I mean, because they don't want to show you how they make sarin gas. That'd yeah. be bad. But
also, but apparently, like, this, like, human sarin gas that they make is, like, super explosive as well. But yeah, so basically, like, the governor of the state or whatever finds out that, like, he's gonna, like, dump this sarin gas into the water supply, so he basically sets up a death race, and they straight up call it a death race. So,
oh.
I don't know how they didn't get sued on that one, but, yeah, so they have a death race, and they have four teams, and they're going to send them all into the red zone, and whoever kills the Reaper gets... It's actually... I would give them credit. It's kind of like... It's more in line with the original Death Race 2000, where they're trying to get points. And every criminal they murder in the red zone, they get more points for. And then the Reaper gets, like, some crazy amount of points for alive or dead. And so the teams are... There's, like, these super stereotypical, like, Latino, like, gang member guys. Who are the Severed Head Gang, and they have like a El Camino or something as their car. And then ICP, who drives an ice cream truck with like a meat grinder in front of it. There's two just like generic roided out soldier guys in like a Jeep. And then Vagina Mite, who are these two crazy serial killer lesbians.
Are they like decent looking?
They're like asylum, like I don't know. Going off the asylum level, they're okay, I guess. So basically there's running through this like Escape from New York red zone, like murdering people and getting into like wacky hijinks. And there's literally one scene of them drive, like all of them driving together at the same time, because apparently it's this, like they can only rent this like Los Angeles backlot for like an hour or something. So it's just like they're driving like 20 miles an hour, like and they're trying to make it like seem super like exciting by like shaking the camera, like going in like all these like random angles and like slow motion and stuff. But you can tell they're going like maybe 20 miles per hour tops. And then it seems like the stunt guys who are getting hit by the cars, like jumping on the car and like smearing fake blood on the car to make it seem like they got hit super hard. Like these stunt guys jump on the car and like slam their head against the windshield and like and then, like, they had like a handful of fake blood. So it's like right off of screen, they ran from off screen, jump in the car, smear blood on the screen, and they fall off the car. And then obviously since ICP is starring in the movie, it's all the entire soundtrack is just like these three random ICP songs at the same time, and they just keep looping them. it's the same songs just over and over and over again.
Are they the main hero of the story?
Eventually. Spoiler alert, they're the ones who eventually get to the Reaper, but then it turns out, like, the army guys were, like, sent in as, like, the main plan, and they blow up the base that, the Reaper is holding his sarin gas in. And so they think they killed the Reaper, and they take his hand, and they go have, like, this victory celebration with the governor. But it turns out the Reaper's not dead. And so, I think, Violent J goes and, like, tries to, like, take out the governor. And that because Shaggy 2 Dope has, like, a giant splinter in his leg. So, his leg is impaled by wood, so he can't go. And the governor... all the racers had, like, these, like, explosive devices put in their head. So if they tried to, like, escape or anything, they get blown up. So the governor tries to blow up their heads. And then, Shaggy's next to, like, a giant barrel of sarin gas, and it blows up, and it apparently blows up the entire world or something, or blows up the entire country. Because, like, it cuts to, like, there's, like, a news channel that's, like, covering everything, and that goes off the air, and then, like, everything's blown up, and you just see, like, rubble everywhere. So I think they're kind of implying, like, that the St. Cloud Posse, like, led to, like, the destruction of the entire planet.
Wow. It's like killing the ICP does yeah. this.
And they had like the most like they're basically like if you go to, like read the article I put up last Saturday, I have like their intro video that they have, like news, like when they get introduced from the death race, and it's like their music led to like this shooting and this massacre and this all these crimes, and that's why they got so basically like they got arrested for like their music causing like insane like just tons of violence in this like weird apocalyptic future. So yes.
Anything else?
The only thing, other thing I watched is I watched Fleming, the first episode of that. Man Who Would Be Bond. It's on BBC America. I think it's like a 3-episode miniseries or something. And man, they're definitely playing up. They're trying to make it definitely seem like Fleming was just straight up Bond.
It's like the first opening is him like escaping out of like a married woman's apartment.
Well, the opening shot is like hit like him with like a spear gun on like his honeymoon underwater and like it's like a sweeping like Bond style shot with like Bond music playing in the background. But yeah, basically the first episode, and I think basically the whole thing is going to be, is kind of like his time during World War II, where he was actually a spy. So he gets recruited, like, he's kind of like this, like, he's like mooching off his mother and like living in like this flat and like just like buying weird like pornographic art and like not doing any, like, he used to work for like a magazine, and he just quit, so he hasn't been doing any work, like actual work. He's just been like living off his parents' wealth. Then he gets recruited by the Navy, and then they like have him because of like his unique skills that he has to like be a spy for like their intelligence. And I mean, it's definitely like they're super playing up like, man, guys, this is like Bond, because it's all like, I mean, yeah, I think he slept with like at least 3 or 4 different women in the first episode, and there's like one of the like the receptionists or like one of the secretaries for like the commander, the Unizon is like basically Moneypenny. And I don't know, it's just lots of, like, they make a martini joke where he orders like the martini and then it gives him like a beer, which was kind of funny. I don't know, if you want like the actual like straight up like real whatever like what actually happened, I would say definitely go check out the Everything or Nothing documentary. That's like more like it's just like detailing. It's documentary, so it's just like telling what actually happened. If you want kind of like more like a fantastical, like stylized version of what happened to Ian Fleming and like his life, then it's pretty fun. I think you can watch the first episode like on demand if you have BBC America or like on the BBC America website, and then it's gonna be like 2 more episodes, I think. So. It'll probably be on like Netflix or something probably at some point, because I think a lot of the BBC shows are up on there. So that's it for me. So I think we can probably wrap this thing up for the week. If you want more from us, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, trailers, all sorts of other stuff on there. All the Super Bowl trailers are up there. My article about Death Racers is up there. You can also find us on facebook.com/everythingaction, twitter.com/EVAction. EverythingAction.tumblr.com is our Tumblr. You can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. And you can find us on iTunes by searching for Everything Action on iTunes. You can subscribe to us, rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. And you can also find us on Stitcher.com. Definitely, I don't know, for some reason, like, we keep like slowly inching up the Stitcher stats. Like, we were like 10,000 out of like however many podcasts at one point. Now we're like 8,000 out of however many podcasts. So... if you use Stitcher, definitely like shoot us a review or just rate us at least, and maybe we can like jump up a little bit more on those rankings. And also on iTunes as well, just like shoot us a review or like rate us at least, and then maybe we can like bump up there too. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.